Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Reese Ableton Live 12 Jungle Arp that hits hard, moves like crazy, and still leaves you headroom for the drums and sub to breathe. This is a big one for drum and bass, because the second you combine a wide Reese with fast arp motion, the low mids can explode. And once that happens, your kick loses punch, your snare feels smaller, and the whole drop starts to feel like it's fighting itself. So the goal here is not just to make a cool bass patch. The goal is to build a repeatable workflow for a jungle-ready arpeggiated Reese that sounds aggressive, musical, and controlled. Think of this as a mid-bass performance layer, not a full-range monster. The sub gets its own lane. The drums get their own lane. The Reese arp gets to be the animated, rolling, dark energy sitting above that foundation. Start with a clean source. Load Waveatable or Operator on a new MIDI track. Waveatable is a great choice because it makes Reese style detuning quick and flexible. Use saw bass shapes, keep the detune subtle rather than huge, and don't overdo the voices. 2 to 4 voices is usually enough, if you want width without turning the sound into a smeared wall. Set a low pass filter so the patch starts fairly restrained. You can always open it later. For the envelope, keep the attack short and the release controlled. We're after a tight, playable bass tone, not a wash. Now write the MIDI pattern before you get lost in sound design. This is important. A lot of people overbuild the patch and only then realize the rhythm is wrong. For jungle and rollers, keep the note range narrow. 2 to 4 notes is often enough. Stay within a fifth or an octave if you can. Root, minor third, fifth, and flat seventh are classic dark moves. You want the pattern to feel intentional, almost like it's answering the drums rather than competing with them. At 174 BPM, try 1/16 notes if the groove needs energy, or 1/8 notes if the break is already busy. In jungle, the emptiness matters as much as the notes. A few well-placed hits can feel heavier than a constant stream of notes, especially when the drums are chopped and syncopated. If you want extra control, bring in Ableton's Arpeggiator. Use it like a performance tool, not a preset generator. Keep the rate at 1/16 or 1/8 to start. Set the gate somewhere around the middle so the notes have shape, and choose a style that fits the phrase. Up, down, converge, or random can all work depending on the vibe. If you want more tension, automate the rate between 1/16 and 1/8 for a switch up. That little move can make the section feel like it opens up without needing a new sound. Now add movement with auto filter. This is where the Reese becomes track friendly. A low pass or band pass filter can help you shape the energy and leave room for the snare. Automate the cutoff so the bass breathes over the phrase. You do not need giant filter sweeps. In fact, smaller motion often sounds more expensive. A few hundred hertz of movement can make the part feel alive without turning into a gimmick. Use utility to keep an eye on width. In the low end, too much stereo is usually a problem. If the patch feels too wide, tighten it a bit. Don't blindly force everything mono on the full sound, but do make sure the bass isn't wasting stereo energy below the useful range. In drum and bass, that low mid spread can chew through your headroom fast. Here's the key move in this lesson. Resample the arp into audio. This is where the patch becomes a real production tool. Once the rhythm and tone are working, route the track to a new audio track set to resampling, or just record the output onto audio. This gives you commitment. It freezes the motion so you can edit it, trim it, and manage the headroom properly. While you record, automate a few things. Move the filter cutoff. Change the arpeggiator rate. Nudge the waveatable position or unison. Add a little distortion drive if you want variation. Then pick the best take and turn it into a clean audio phrase. Why is resampling so powerful here? Because it lets you stop thinking like a synth programmer and start thinking like an arranger. You can trim tails, remove unnecessary wash, and shape the bass like audio instead of constantly rebuilding the patch. That's a huge advantage when you're trying to keep the mix clean. Once the audio is printed, go in with EQ8 first. This is where you protect your headroom. If there's unwanted sub buildup in the Reese layer, gently high pass it depending on how the sub is handled elsewhere in the track. If the low mids are cloudy, carve a little around 180 to 350 Hz. If it's boxy, check the 400 to 700 range. And if the part is poking too aggressively in the upper mids, watch the 2 to 5 kHz area. After EQ, add saturation carefully. Saturator or drum bus can give the printed bass more bite and density, but keep it controlled. You want character, not a blown-up wall. If the peaks get spiky, soft clipping can help. If the part needs a little glue, a light glue compressor can smooth it out, but don't squash the life out of it. We're after impact, not pump for its own sake. Now separate the sub completely. This is a major headroom saver. Use operator with a sine wave for the sub lane. keep it mono, keep it simple, and make it follow the root motion without copying every rhythmic detail of the Reese arp. In many dark, DNB arrangements, the sub is the spine and the Reese is the animated upper body. They work together, but they should not live in the same space. That separation is one of the biggest reasons this approach works. The Reese can be wild and animated in the mids, while the sub stays solid and centered. The mix feels bigger because each element knows its job. Next, make room for the drums. Use sidechain compression from the kick on the Reese and sub if needed, but keep it subtle. In DNB, sidechain is usually about clarity more than obvious pumping. If the bass keeps stepping on the snare, automate a short dip around the snare hits or carve a little more in the low mids. The snare is sacred. If the bass masks it, the whole drop feels smaller, even if the bass sounds huge on its own. Also, listen to the drum bus. If your break is full of low toms, room tone, or heavy body around 150 to 300 Hz, that's going to fight the Reese fast. Decide who gets to speak in that range. Headroom is often just good arrangement decisions in the low mids. Now turn the sound into arrangement language. Don't let it sit there like a loop that never evolves. Bring in the tighter, more filtered version first. Then open the filter later. Add more octave motion in the second half. For a pre-switch moment, you can even mute the sub for half a bar or change the arp rate for a quick tension hit. Those little moves make the bass feel like it's part of the tune, not just a repeating clip. In a jungle context, try leaving space right after the snare so the bass answers the break instead of covering it. That negative space is part of the groove. The emptiness makes the next hit feel heavier. Sometimes the best thing you can do is remove a note. Resample multiple versions if you can. Make one fuller, more animated version for big moments. Make one tighter, drier version for busier drum sections. Maybe even make a dirtier one with extra saturation and a cleaner one with more space. Label them clearly so you can mix with clips instead of constantly tweaking the synth. That's one of the smartest habits you can build in Live 12. Think in buses, not just in tracks. Route the Reese, the resampled audio, and any extra dirt layers to a dedicated bass bus. That way you can manage tone and level from one place. And keep checking in mono. If the bass loses most of its weight when summed down, the width strategy is doing too much work. A few quick pro moves before we wrap up. Try parallel distortion instead of destroying the clean layer. Blend a dirtier copy under a controlled core for more weight without losing articulation. Use tiny filter automation moves. A little motion goes a long way. If you want a darker, more aggressive edge, duplicate a layer, high-pass it, and process that copy for presence while keeping the core clean. And don't be afraid to print different filter states. A darker resample for the main section and a brighter one for fills can be way more useful than trying to build one perfect patch that does everything. So the big takeaway is this. In drum and bass, the best bass sounds are not just powerful, they're controlled. A Reese arp can be huge, exciting, and full of movement, but if you resample it, separate the sub, and manage the low mids properly, it stays punchy and mix ready instead of eating the whole track. Quick recap. Build the Reese as a mid-bass layer. Keep the arp narrow, rhythmic, and intentional. Use Ableton's stock tools to shape movement and control density. Resample early so you can edit and protect headroom. Keep the sub separate and mono. And always make sure the drums still feel like they're in the front seat. If you want, I can also turn this into a step-by-step Live 12 device chain with exact stock devices and starting settings.